It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to SOS, the Saying Our Software podcast. Today, we have a couple of guests on the podcast. We have Samson Gotti.
Hello. Hi.
And Wipul Gupta. Did I pronounce both your names correctly?
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Hi. Hi, everyone.
And we also have me, Richard Littauer, and Pia Mancini from Open Collective.
Hi, so folks.
I figure as a start, let's go through and introduce ourselves, Samson and Wipul, if you want to say who you are in a couple sentences or a minute or so, and what you're here for.
Okay, so my name is Samson Gotti. I'm from a city called Port Harcourt in Nigeria. I'm a lover of open source, part of the Sugar Labs community as a member, and also one of the oversight board. I'm currently working to distribute and educate people about open source through a community that I'm creating called the Open Source Community Africa. So basically, everything about open source, Scratch, and educating. And I also love teaching kids. That's everything about me.
Awesome. Wipul?
Hi, I'm from a place called New Delhi, from India. And I have been a part of Sugar Labs for over a year now. We are working towards outreach, how we can raise awareness towards increasing the scope of Sugar Labs. What all services do we offer for... We recently had our talk in PyCon US, as well as PyCon Singapore. And my home country, I'm the co-organizer for a community called PyDelhi. And I've been working towards a lot with Python Software Foundation and a small community of my own called Alias. So we can talk about that.
Awesome. Pia, do you want to say anything, or are we already introduced, you think? You think people know who
yeah.
we are?
No, just hi, everyone. It's really nice to have you guys. I enjoyed meeting you at Sustain last year in the UK. So I've been a lot in touch with Samson lately about OSCA. So I'm excited to share news about that. And then we will learn more about what you're doing. And to everyone out in the wild, thank you for listening.
Awesome. So you two, Samson and Wipul, you met at Sustain, right?
Yep.
Yes, for the first time. Yes, we did for the first time.
That's awesome. Sustain, for those of you listening, was the second conference we had for sustaining open source software. It was hosted in London last October. It was basically free form. It was one day with a lot of industry players figuring out how we can figure out how we can sustain open source in the long term. It was really cool to have Samson and Wipul there because most people came from America or from Western Europe, and having voices from other parts of the world is awesome. Samson, do you want to talk a bit about what OSCA is?
So the Open Source Community Africa was actually the aim to, create awareness about open source and then try to demystify some of the tools by connecting people that are willing to contribute, give back, or to just get general knowledge of the term open source. Because I think it's more of, I think most people kind of misunderstand what the word open source is. Some people think it's more of like, it's like a place where people do free stuff. Some people just think it's more like a license. So just like a lot of things that are, has been like a very big question. And it actually came out as a result of the first time that I left the country, in 2017. I went to the Mentor Summit of Google Summer of Code at Google headquarters in Mountain View. So at the first time I was there, there was like, a few Africans. I would say like, I think it's actually two Africans out of like 300 people in the summit. So I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to change some things. And then I came back home and talked to some folks down in my city. I was like, hey, how about to do something that will, bridge the gap between, you know, people living in Africa, because, you know, a lot of people in Africa are doing software development, basically bigger things, you know, like the new Black Panther movie, you know, show how Wakanda and all that kind of stuff. So it's like more like the general idea, you know, trying to build the next billion creators, you know, Wakanda forever anyways. Yeah. So, yes. So basically that's how Oscar started. And ever since we kicked out as our first event we did, that I think that was in early 2018, we hosted a boot camp in one university. We got over about 300 students. And then I was like, oh, what about, you know, talk to some people, try to do in different different cities across Africa. So yes, we have right now we have about give or take like 7 cities in Nigeria alone. And then currently in 3 other African countries, and we're actually still sticking on, you know, growing bigger. So, but the awesome thing about Oscar in the last 1 year, almost 1 year now, like 6 months, more of 6 months than 1 year, was when I went to Sustain in October, which was pretty awesome, man. I'm actually looking forward for the next Sustain anyways. So I met with Pia. I was like, hey, this is a project I'm working on. We're actually having some issues, you know, receiving money from corporate body, individuals that are, you know, willing to donate money to make sure the mission grows. You know, Pia was like, hey, okay, you know what? You know, let's talk about this. And then, you know, we started the conversation. And then, yeah, we, you know, we became collective on the collective platform. And I think we're actually doing a really awesome job right now.
You are indeed. I was just looking at it. You guys have raised already, you have 2,500, and then you are set for an estimated budget of 3,200. And that's just on the main collective. I'm not sure how you're going on your events, but super cool.
Yeah, yeah. That the way we try to sustain that money is to, okay, so one of the idea behind the chapters, because honestly speaking, if we want to, you know, try to sponsor 100% of the chapters, we're actually going to go broke, you know, in like a week or so. Because like, for example, the city I wanted to do, which is Port Harcourt, the city I was looking to, actually the events place I wanted to, you know, collaborate with to host the Oscar Port Harcourt meetup was actually asking me for, you know, roughly $500 to $600, which was kind of funny because, you know, we came in the approach of, you know, making collaboration and partnership anyways to, you know, introduce them to like things like the Open Collective bounties that would, you know, encourage their, you know, people staying in the hub to, you know, take advantage of the tools. But, you know, so some cities in Africa is quite expensive, you know, doing technology. And the city I live in happens to be, if not the most expensive city to do meetups, because it's very hard to talk to people to give space for free, especially when you're talking about things like open source, right? So that's why I think Oscar is important to not just talk to corporate bodies or individuals, but to make sure we have like a very good ecosystem of the real definition of open source, enough for people to know how important it is to, you know, see the value. So we could get, you know, space for free, for example, you know. So that's really kind of, you know, interesting.
Yeah. That's really cool. So Oscar, for those of you listening and want to follow along, there's no R, it's OSCAfrica. So OSCAfrica.org, if you want to find out more about that. And you say it's mainly in Nigeria, but Nigeria is only one of many countries in Africa. What other countries have you involved?
I won't say mainly on Nigeria, because one of the conversation, the earlier conversation with Pierre, actually I've been talking to Josh Simmons. He used to work at Google as a open source program manager of open source outreach. I think now as Salesforce, I think. So he is part of the open source initiative, part of the board anyways. So I've been constantly for the past 6 months, no, about a year now, talking to him on how we could, you know, make Oscar as a member project for OSI, because that would make it more central. Because, you know, one of the struggles doing things in Africa for Africans and for everybody in Africa is to try not to make it a country specific, because then it becomes that country's, you know, stuff, you know. So every time I keep telling people, okay, just because most of the team here are based in Nigeria doesn't make it a Nigerian thing, right? So that's why I didn't even want to even buy the idea of making it a non-profit and then restart it in Nigeria. So I decided to go and opt with Open Collective, which is a brilliant idea, you know, in my opinion. And I guess Pia would perfectly agree on that part. Aside from Nigeria, we have somebody from Sierra Leone. We actually still discuss with the person to create the first meetup there. We have in Uganda. We have in Kenya. In fact, Kenyan meetup is coming up by 13th. That is next Saturday. So Nairobi, Kenya. We're actually, you know, still discussing on how to make everything okay. And in Uganda, which should be August 23, two other African countries that I'm not exactly sure the name. I'll just have to look forward on that part. So we actually, aside from Nigeria, we are in about 3 to 4 African countries, if my memory is right. And at the same time, I'm currently discussing with somebody in Tanzania, South Africa, Morocco, and I think Tunisia. To see by the end of the year, my goal for the end of the year is to try to make sure that Oscar should be in at least 10 countries in Africa and more than 20 cities in Africa. Yeah.
That is an awesome goal. Thank you so much. That's so cool to hear. Yeah. Do you have any idea how many developers currently are in Africa who work on open source?
I would say a lot. so that's the thing, you know. So sometimes I fought the open source communities, you know, mostly the ones in North America. Because, you know, like, for example, trying to do meetups, you know, in the U.S. in the sense, you know, you get issues with visa, you know, these guys don't actually come down. And sometimes they come with a funny name on GitHub. You don't necessarily know who they are because you don't really take, you know, surveys to know where exactly are these people coming from. Like, for example, I have a team of 5 people that actively contribute to open source. One is actually doing code right now. Yeah. So when I was speaking with him, I was like, hey, there's a lot of people here in Africa that wants to do Google Summer of Code, but for some reason, because of the way the Google Summer of Code is being, the time frame of the Google Summer of Code is sort of, you know, clashes with some students' calendar, you know, the school year, because school year in Africa is a bit different from the US, and I think Summer of Code is more, you know, accommodative to, you know, maybe mostly in Northern Europe than Africa. So, you know, those are like, you know, one of the things that I think should be, you know, looking to the play. But people actively contribute to open source. There are PyCon at different African countries. And then people doing awesome jobs. Recently, there's a guy actually called Prosper that in 2016, Prosper Temuyiwa, that's his full name. He goes by Unicode Developer on Twitter. He actually was ahead of Google and Facebook in terms of highest numbers of commits on GitHub. That was in 2016. Then I think that year he became a Google Developers Expert on I think on web or so. All of awesome people down here do great job, but we don't get to see them mostly because it's very hard to travel. Traveling from Nigeria to the States costs more than traveling from the States to Nigeria, right? It's so crazy. It's really, really expensive. Recently, I wanted to go to Kenya, one of our meetups, and I just checked the ticket. From Nigeria to Kenya is about $1,000, and that is even less than 3 hours flight. And it's Kenya, right? It's not the US, where it's like a longer flight. You know, it makes more sense to pay $1,000. So I think that's you know, in terms of the collaborative aspect of it, I think yes, Africans used to do a lot because that's one way, you know, people in the States or people in Europe or Asia get to know who actually, you know, contribute, you know, to open source.
That is awesome. Thank you for that.
I was wondering, you talked about bounties. So can you chat a little bit about that? Like how you're using it and what's the goal of setting bounties for your meetups?
Okay. So the reason why I think first the idea behind bounty programs in Open Collective is pretty brilliant. In fact, I'm actually discussing with my team, the Sugar Labs community to take the same approach, you know, from Open Collective, because I think it's a really awesome idea. Now, the reason why we opting to bring in bounties to our meetups is because, again, people misunderstand the word open source. Sometimes people don't actually know there's actually jobs centered around open source, right? You get paid to work on open source. You get to become program manager for one corporate body to do licensing, you know, like numerous of jobs out there. So, but again, if you pay attention, I think recently GitHub made a list of fastest growing countries in people using GitHub, and Nigeria happens to be third on that list, I think. Yeah, so that makes sure that actually is already sending a message that people here are actually doing a lot. So now the reason why we decided to bring the bounties to our meetups is to make sure that people, not just because of the money anyways, but because to put themselves out there, you know, people want to learn, you know, how do I get a job abroad? But you can't get a job abroad when you don't really know how the work environment is being placed on. You know, open source is the best way for you to know on, you know, let's say, for example, how to get a job at Open Collective or how to get a job at Google. You know, these companies, you know, release softwares or projects on GitHub and you get to collaborate. And that the awesome thing is, you know, the thing about open source is sometimes you get reached out like, hey, do you want a job? You know, I have numerous of friends that have jobs because of GitHub, right? So there's thousands of people out there writing codes, which I think that is even one of the reasons why we wanted to bring this idea. So we have this huge surge of people coming to open source projects because there's a lot of people writing codes, JavaScript, Python, PHP, you know, numerous of programming language out there. But for some reason, they don't really get the idea on why they need to see that on the computer and then go into GitHub or GitLab or any services that promote collaboration on open source, right? So that is one of the conversation I've been, you know, primarily discussed with the Open Collective to see how we could partner with them to get, you know, some issues which are placed like the bounces program from Open Collective that are, I think, at $100. Then some of the projects is about $300. But the aim to bring in these bounties down to the city across Africa, and then with the aim to introduce larger bounties. So that is like basically the idea behind what we're actually working on right now, which our next three meetups, which is going to be in Port Harcourt, Lagos, and then Nairobi, is actually focusing on.
Cool. Thank you. I'm so excited about this collaboration that we have going on with the bounties. For us, like finding, and I think it was absolutely through you after we met at Sustain, but, or I don't know, like, you know, the relationship that we built, but we started seeing an Open Collective, a lot of folks from Nigeria and Kenya contributing and starting to claim the bounties that we're putting. And so this idea of setting up, we set aside, I think, a group of 10 bounties or something like that for the first meetup that are kind of easy in the kind of lower range. And the idea is like once, because of the Open Collective bounty program, like you need to start by doing a small bounty before you can claim a big one. And so the idea is to help like all of these folks already have that kind of first bounty done and merged by our team. And so then in the future, if they want to claim larger bounties, we even have, we go all the way up to $1,500 bounties and that are proper features. You know, we want to help folks grow towards that. And so this is one of the ways we're thinking about it. And yeah, it's super exciting. Rich, I think you had a question.
Yeah. So Samson, thank you so much. That's super interesting. You mentioned PyCon and that reminds me of Whipple. Do you have a similar story in India where you have a lot of developers, but it's hard to break out? And what are you doing there? What's going on?
So if I like to talk about how India is doing about in this open source and how our communities are helping out, we have a similar story. As in Samson and I were discussing at the time of MossFest, I guess, at the time of Sustain, as in how we have similarities and dissimilarities between people are not familiar about the word open source, as in they either have different meanings for it or they're not perfectly clear as to what to do. And similar questions as well, like many people in our communities also have the question of how do I get jobs abroad or how do I get this particular skill? And one of the most frequent questions that I usually get is how do I start contributing? And to keep on asking or to keep on answering these questions is what it means to actually progress, as in to get more beginners into a project or get more people involved. And that's also something we were discussing at Sustain as to how to get in new contributors into projects, into new communities, and focus on them staying, how to make them stay, how to keep on the contribution flow. So for that, I have been involved in about two initiatives. These are like twofold, I guess. One is what I run as a small community in my university. And that is a university-based open source communities that I have been coming up with. One is Alias. And what Alias is a small community of developers who want to contribute or who want to learn new softwares, new technologies by sharing among themselves. As in, if someone builds a project and if we can motivate them to maybe put out the source, make the source code open source, and how they can improve that or how they can learn from others. So we motivate our members, or all of them are students. Maybe they are freshmen who are joining us, or even finally are students who can join us. And everyone is invited. And we have peer sessions in which one person shares what he learned through the week, through the project that he's doing. We have several programs and initiatives like Kickstarters. These are several meetups, like Samson has a very big process. But we are trying to start small because in India, the problems are same, but the developers, as I was reading the Stack Overflow's developer surveys, most developers from India that come out was from a bachelor's degree. So like people are getting the necessary education, whatever education that is, and the quality is not the same. But what we would like to see that at least everyone that gets out of college knows about open source, has a GitHub profile that you can show for, or you can show your credibility with. Because in this time where a company will actually hire you as a good factor, I think everyone checks out GitHub profiles. And with Alias, what we are trying to do is at least everyone from our college and everywhere we are now, from about the course of 3 years that we have been doing work, that everyone at least knows a particular language or particular skill set where they can get a job in. They have open source profiles and they have been contributing or become many of our members that have been working quite well. Some of them are maintainers at Debian. People have been working quite well in GSOC. This time Alias, from only Alias, we have about 9 students who are working in different projects. Sugar Labs was my start, and the inspiration comes from the fact that when I was accepted into Sugar Labs in 2018 as a GSOC student, there was no one else, as in people didn't even know about open source or I was doing something. And this is actually an opportunity for us, as in what Samson also told about his regard, how he started, as in if open source has been giving us a lot of opportunities. I get a lot of job offers as well as opportunities to work. This podcast is what I have been receiving from open source, and it feels good to often give back to the community in whatever way we can. And Alias is one way. Other communities that I contribute or volunteer for to organize meetups and host events is PyDeli. So PyDeli is the Python meetup group for Python user group for New Delhi. And we have about 11,000 members now. We have been running meetups for every fortnight for about 2 years now. And people have been asking the same questions in that as well, as in what is open source? How can I start? Because the trend is now setting in. There are developers who want to migrate or want to start with open source, professional developers, like having 5 years experience, but have no sense of what open source is. That's the group that we are trying to help. With PyDeli, what we have is in one meter, we have dev sprints. And similar to code bounties, in dev sprints, what we have is we have several projects, and all those maintainers or mentors that we have in our network come together to have in one place. We set a meetup venue. We set all the, we do the arrangements, and maintainers actually guide new contributors as to how to contribute. So we like to fix the problem of how to get new contributors involved in a project, how to get people working. And I think PyDeli, and there are a lot of communities popping up now, some nonprofits, some doing very good work here in India. So the direction is, I think, quite well. We have also the conference that is now going on with PyCon India starting up. We are in the 11th iteration for it, and it's going to be huge, I guess. I've been working for it, and we can see a lot of volunteer efforts in open source as well as maintainer. A lot of interest from outside companies like Google, Microsoft, LinkedIn even, as in to promote and establish open source, how they can improve upon it. You have a strong network of GDGs and DSCs with Alias as well. If I like, we have opened a new chapter in MIT University, Lucknow. So in what I like to see as in the next 2-3 years, what my plan would be is to whosoever is graduating from the college level, because in India, what we have is the scenario is everyone does college. The boot camps or developer boot camps are also coming up, but many of the computer science people who are interested often have a bachelor's degree. And what I wanted to concentrate on is how we can educate them on open source. As in, even if they're working on something that is proprietary, or even if their company is not, maybe they can start out in their companies of having new initiatives, see what we did in our community in Alias, and maybe you can follow up too. So we have been collaborating with some companies as well in Alias, where we hold up workshops, we hold up dev sprints, we hold up every Thursday meetups, where people just get along and try to learn from each other, have a good environment. What we also focus on is how the communication can be done, how you can work. Like Samsung was telling, like, someone does need a job abroad, but you need to have skills for it. And one of the main skills is communication. So we try to focus a lot on communication by motivating other students to talk about it, to give talks at our meetups, to discuss what they have learned. And that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you. That's really interesting that both of you seem to be focusing on getting jobs with open source. Open Collective has sort of the opposite approach, where it's making money with open source just so you can sustain the actual open source development you're already doing. Pia, I guess I have a question for you. There's 1,300 collectives on Open Collective, as far as I'm aware. How many of them are coming from Africa and India?
Jeez, I have no idea. So there are 1,300 collectives, 1,200 collectives in open source only. Right? Then we have a bunch of other collectives in non-open source verticals, like, or groups like citizen initiatives and climate fight groups. That still doesn't answer your question. I'm just actively making time so I can do a quick search.
That's okay. One of the reasons I ask is because it's interesting that both Samson and Weeple, both of you have focused on a couple of different things. So one of them is getting people together, having them share, learn what open source is, and hopefully find jobs and education in that area. But also both of you worked on, it's not called Scratch, it's called Sugar Labs, which is more about learning how to code in the first place. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, sort of. yeah.
Can you describe what Sugar Labs is then? That was my impression of it.
Yeah, so Sugar Labs, are you familiar with the One Laptop Per Child project, the OLPC project?
Let's pretend I'm not. What is it?
So every continent have a different perspective about what One Laptop Per Child is. So I know in the States, it was like this, give one, get one computer. It was like pack the $100 computer. Yeah, so the software running on that machine way back in 2008 to like 10, I guess, is actually called Sugar OS. It's a desktop environment that is derived from the GNOME interface. So runs with Linux. It's one of the, if you actually check research or go to the wiki entry of Linux, you basically see it's one of the graphic user interface. So Sugar is just a Linux distributed interface that is focused for the child's learning, not necessarily focusing on learning how to code, because that's the concept behind the Sugar desktop, the ability to make a kid get more creative and more of computational thinking, because there's a lot of research from MIT, like with the side of people like Simon Papert, Walter Bender, Marvin Minsky, and Cynthia Solomon. You know, there's been like a lot of research, the way kids can be able to learn while doing, you know, the approach of learning while doing, which is a very big thing at MIT. So basically the software, which is even one of the ways, unlike, I don't know about Vipo, but the way I got into open source, I've been playing around open source for like roughly about 8 years now because of Sugar, because I was about eight, nine when I got the computer here in Nigeria. It was running Sugar anyways. So I spent like a year or two learning how to use Linux for the first time, because my friends were actually using Windows. Some rich kids were actually using, you know, Mac OS and all that. So I actually was using that computer. Then I think 2 years after, I joined the Sugar Labs community. And ever since, you know, it's been like a very different approach. So I think it's something that is kind of interesting. It's a very interesting project to look at. Yeah.
I would also like to add about Sugar Labs. For the time being of working as outreach lead, trying to raise awareness for Sugar Labs, Sugar Labs has also worked towards several new products and services. Like, we are on 5 different platforms: Sugar on a Stick, Sugar Web, Sugarizer, and a lot more growing and a lot more activities happening. So if the people listening would like to contribute or would like to look out more for Sugar Labs, we will be adding a few links, and it's sugarlabs.org. So
I'm adding a link right now.
Sugar Labs has been working a lot with, like Samson said, we are truly based on Linux. It's a great software for kids, and we are trying to focus on several new initiatives. Right now, we are deployed. The Music Blocks software is deployed in Japan, Tokyo, as well as Sugarizer has been deployed in some schools in France. And we are trying to get awareness through it, giving talks. And like Samson and some people from Sugar Labs represented the community in PyCon UK, ICRA, gave a talk in PyCon Singapore. So we are trying to get everyone along so that Sugar Labs can progress or can build through a network of contributors and supporters who can take it forward. Yeah, I think everyone listening can check it out.
So that's really cool. One of the things I often note when looking at areas that are developing open source and learning what open source is and how to do it, for instance, in Nigeria or in India, is that there's a couple people who always stand out, who are always founding these initiatives and, you know, founding things like OSCA, which is super cool. But there can only be, you know, one founder or a small community there. But what you're saying is that with Sugar Labs, you can also learn how to code as a kid. And then from that, maybe you can add stuff on GitHub, get involved with Sugar, and maybe get a job as well working in open source without necessarily needing to found the next new community.
Richard, I would like to answer this. A bit of a discussion here is about focusing more and more communities. I think somewhat we are going in a phase that there are too many communities to choose from. And yeah, I think Sugar Labs comes as a solution probably, in which we, as a student, if I am just starting out in open source, there is just too much information to go through in one go. And you have to learn a lot. The learning curve is a bit high. But I think we can, with Sugar Labs and with several new organizations that are coming up, I think we can start by one step at a time with communities at a local level, then people contributing to projects that they think they can. Maybe someone has a skill set of Python, someone has a skill set with JavaScript. They can contribute there. They can get their skills polished, build their profile, build their interest. I think interest matters a lot, as in what field do you want to go after college? Maybe it's machine learning, maybe it's full stack development, maybe it's DevOps. And I think open source helps quite a lot with that. So maybe a bit of an answer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I guess another way of framing this discussion would be to say that to be an open source developer, you have to have a few things. You have to have the skills necessary, which you can learn using Sugar, and you can learn on GitHub, and you can, you know, keep coding. And there's a lot to learn, and it's way too much for anyone to do it. But if you're focused on one area, then you can basically go forth and learn skills. Another thing you need is a sense of community, like you're part of something. And so both of you are really actively in that space, trying to build spaces where people can join together in real time, physically in the same room, and figure out what we're doing here and what does open source mean? And hey, how are you doing today? And get to know friends and get to feel like you're part of something bigger than just yourself in a room. And then the other part of the equation, the lit tower sustaining triangle, as I'm going to very pretentiously name it, would I guess be capital. So how do you go on and get a job to actually sustain this work in the long term? And how do you end up getting paid for this work? A lot of the community building work, for instance, isn't paid because, as Senton was saying, it's very hard to make sponsorships happen and figure out how to get money to run these meetups and events. But you are paid, hopefully, for your open source work, or at least for the work you do at your company, which some of which hopefully can be open sourced. Does that make sense? That's the sort of the three things I'm thinking about in terms of how to develop an open source ethos in a place.
Yeah, I would also add something else that I think I've been thinking about a lot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lately, in the context of Open Collective, that has to do with certification. Like most of these developers in developing countries, they don't have access to the kind of traditional certification that developers in like the US or Western Europe have, as in like universities or like, you know, some sort of something that proves their knowledge in a way that any company understands. And so something that I've been thinking about is how can we grow the ability for developers in India, in Africa, in Latin America to have access to some sort of certification that also kind of gives them a certain level of skill that it's transparent and it's open and it's like a standard. So I've been thinking a lot about like if from Open Collective there's a way where communities can certify their members somehow, right? Like if developers and contributors to a certain community. The community can say, like, yes, these are folks that are validated by us. Like, they've been through the onboarding. They've successfully make contributions, whether that's code or not code, because part of the problem of using GitHub as your resume is that non-strict code contributions are not valued. And so we need to find ways of also including that. So anyway, so those are some of the thoughts that I've been thinking about and really thinking if Open Collective has a role to play there, because if we can extend to folks like Samson and Whipple and their communities, like a way of for them to show their skills and for them to kind of signal a certain skill level to companies around the world, I think that there's a lot of value in that. And that's a huge challenge at the moment.
I totally agree with you. That is a huge challenge. Certification is something I often forget because I use my GitHub, you know, profile as my CV in a sense. The other day, someone asked me for a CV and I just don't have one printed because I've been doing this for so long that it's just, that's my CV. It's like, well, what do you do on GitHub? I know a programmer in Seattle named Yegor Bugayenko. He's really interesting because he's a senior developer who actually goes back and gets certifications again and again. A lot of senior developers figure, well, I have a job. Great. I'm done. I don't need any more certifications. But he argues pretty interestingly that certifications actually help you grow a lot of ways because they make you do the tests that otherwise you wouldn't end up thinking about. Programming is it's a long career of edge cases. You end up fixing this edge case and that edge case and that edge case. And it's very hard to get a solid grounding, which is really useful for a lot of developers, and especially if they're able to show that grounding to other people. And one of the ways to do that is certifications. Whipple, you mentioned that a lot of developers... Go ahead.
Yeah, I truly agree on Richard on that one with certifications and the person that you were talking about. As in, certifications do show a bit of credibility to the person. Depth of, as a recruiter, as someone, I have been into a little bit of recruitment. And what I would also like to see in some candidates is some certification, or not even certification, as in a proper GitHub profile, some projects that you can show up of. Maybe I can read your code, or maybe some way I can see that you're still learning. And like Richard said about the person going after more certifications is a good sign, as in that shows that I think he's still learning. We are all learning in the process. And certifications are truly a good idea. So Pia, if you like, maybe we can collaborate there on that part, because I am truly in for the certificate process, yeah. So that community maybe get verified.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Like, so my thinking is like, how can we help kind of the open source collectives verify some of their core contributors in a way that is sufficiently standardized for companies to find that as a signal, right? To read that signal. And so making it like a level standing point for all contributors, regardless of where they're from and what access to formal learning they have, because it's not about the skills that they have. It's also the access to the spaces that are validating those skills. Yeah. So it's about thinking if we can figure out from Open Collective, at least that this is where I'm standing, but in general, from our community, how we can help kind of grow and develop a technical workforce in developing countries that has access to these jobs that are in the developed world, mostly at the moment, and kind of cutting the learning curve for many of these groups. So that's where my thinking is, and I would absolutely love to collaborate. So let's chat about that offline.
Awesome. Does anyone else have anything else you want to talk about today?
How can we help? Like, what do you need? And how can the community help? How can listeners help?
I think as much as the best way to try to bridge this gap, at least to try to make, you know, projects like Oscar or the one Vipu is working on in India, to make it more, should I say, successful in some way, or to, you know, make the idea more bigger, is to support, not just financially. I think financially is just one step to do that. But in terms of, you know, recommend or trying to, you know, put a safer community, because as much as people don't know, Africa is the most diverse continent in the world. Using my country, for example, I don't know if you guys actually know that, but we have about roughly 700 languages and 520 ethnic groups. So it's so super diverse. for a country of 200 million people. So, you know, I kind of say the same for, you know, places like South Africa, where they have 11 official language, you know, which is, you know, quite funny. So there's a lot of diversity in the continent that even me as an African, you know, that sometimes I actually smile a lot when I hear, hey, you must be an African. Oh, okay. So you're from Nigeria. That means you must know somebody from Zambia. I was like, no, man, I can't do that. It's not possible. Because, you know, yeah. So it's funny, right? So because we don't speak African, you know, it's sort of different, you know, it's a kind of funny way, which I think is still, it's more of, I actually smile that it would, you know, try to pick offense, because it's more like a joke to me that it would try to pick an offense. So if companies, conferences that, you know, trying to bring some of the conferences down here, for example, one of my discussions with Pierre, you know, irrespective of, you know, some certain problems that actually made some country, well, any country in Africa to be part of, to be a destination for Sustain Summit, you know, was because of the, you know, the LGBTQ community, which I think one African country, I think right recently an African country just sort of abolished that law. I think I have to check which country is that. It has to be one of the countries in Eastern Africa. So those are the things that, you know, bringing conferences down here and, you know, stopping that issue of, you know, letting people travel down to the state. You know, America is not really everybody's, you know, favorite destination right now because of it's harder to get a visa. I was lucky to get a visa. And right now, when I was coming back, this is this is no joke. I was coming back from the state. The embassy in Nigeria lifted the rule, actually suspended the process of automatic renewal of the US visa. So I have to go to the embassy again, you know, to get my visa, where it's just about a year ago, you just put your passport in DHL and they take it to the embassy and they just give you your visa. So, you know, it's becoming very complicated to travel these days, you know, especially when you're, you know, mostly from, you know, India or Nigeria in the sense. So it makes more sense for company to start paying attention, or corporate body to start paying attention to the continents.
Yeah.
As an American, I apologize for my country's ridiculous visa policies. So, and I agree with you.
Yeah, it's worse. Like, mine is even worse coming from, I don't think I'm in a position to say that the US is unfair, because coming from a country where we only give 17 countries, 17 nationals visas, visa free anyways, 17 out of 194 countries, just 17 can come to Nigeria visa free. So, you know, it's kind of worse down here than even in the state. But again, the concept behind traveling to, for example, Sustain, right? I actually have three friends aside me that wanted to, you know, join me to Sustain. You know, they didn't get a visa. Not just America. Yeah. This is even in the UK.
I remember that.
You know,
it was painful.
Yeah it's really hard to the point that the guy had to, you know, apply for the second time, and they still, you know, rejected the visa, even though we applied for the same thing.
What's really interesting is that, so it's really hard to get visas, especially to the UK and the US. And these two countries together have a lot of the technical prowess in the world, in the sense of how much money is going into tech and how much they're building their new economies around tech. At the same time, by making it difficult for developers from other parts of the world to come there and share in our knowledge, what they're doing is effectively opening up the playing field for other countries to step up. So I think we're going to see a lot more coders coming out of Africa who are brilliant coders in their own right, who never had to go to the States. And a lot more coming out of India, which is really, it's really exciting, because ideally, the world would not be centered around a single valley somewhere in Northern California, but rather be a place where everyone can get involved. So I just want to say thank you both for being part of that effort of bringing up the rest of the world. That's the most positive spin I can give on the situation. So.
Yeah,
that was a good try, Rich. That was a good try. Good effort.
Yeah, I think there was a suggestion that was going on. I think actually France that actually made that rule, and I think other countries should follow, because it doesn't make sense to judge a software developer in the same category of somebody just coming for, you know, visiting, because we still apply for the same visa type when necessarily we're not going for the same reason. You know, going to the state, you need to apply for the B1, B2 visa, which is the same thing for an ordinary traveler coming to, you know, visit 1 week. You know, you want to go for, there's no conference visa. But in countries like France, in some countries in the other part of the world, accommodate visas for a specific people coming for a specific reason, not necessarily in general. You know, I think it's something countries should look into.
I think the visa situation is In the scenarios, if you are talking about visa scenarios, in India too, there is a very strong community of Indians in US now. And the visa situation has tightened. And like Rich said, that if UK and US are tightening their visa laws, some other countries are trying to benefit from it. And one of them that I actually see a lot of my seniors or a lot of my professionals that I recruit from, many of them are going to Tokyo, many of them are going to Germany. And Germany is seeing a very theoretical rise into tech jobs. So with open source for tech jobs, and many companies are trying to open up their headquarters there. So one suggestion.
I hosted a meetup there 3 weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying. Germany is like coming up very fast and they're doing it all out. They have several great boot camps where people from all over the world come in. One of which I am going to as well. It's called Digital Product School. And they're doing great work with IBM, with the BMW. So it becomes quite attractive for developers to go to such places, explore their opportunities. And one of the suggestions that Pia had, the original question was, is I think in India, what we have is a lot of options for developers, but people that are new often get confused as there are a lot of choices to work from. And they need mainly mentorship or some kind of a guidance system that can tell you like, yeah, out of 10 ways, you can go into this one and be sure that you can come out a bit more sensible or a bit more knowledgeable, because there are a lot of courses, there are a lot of certifications, there is a lot of communities, a lot of noise, I guess, but I think we can filter it out. We can work hard. And what our communities like Samson are doing is what Alias always thinks about is we experiment faster and fail faster. We experiment more and fail faster. And that's what we are doing with initiatives. If people keep on working hard, I think we can work towards sustainable software, sustainabling our communities. Financial is one aspect that many, many communities and many projects are still lagging on. But I think we can work together to improve upon it. And the entire shift into open source, and you can see out news from Google, from many other companies who are jumping into open source. Microsoft has been doing quite a great work. So I think we are into a good form for the next couple of years with open source, and let's see where that takes us.
Awesome. So let's end the conversation with that. I think that's a really hopeful, upbeat view of the future, which is great. And thank you for letting us know how we could help. Now is Eric's favorite part of the show. Eric's not here, but basically, we share three things we've been reading or thinking about, or pretty much anything. This is the free form part. So, Pia, do you have any stuff you want to share today?
I didn't think of anything today, and I forgot to think during our conversation, which is usually the case with me. But I think I shared the what I've been thinking about for certifications of open source maintainers and how can open source communities provide their members with like some sort of validation or a seal of approval or however you want to call it, but a signal that helps companies recruit them in an easier way. So anyway, a lot of my time has been thinking about that. And then maybe the other thing that I wanted to share was on Open Collective, we're thinking about our strategy and we're thinking about it in a very open way. So we have an open issue going on about how we can move Open Collective forward. So right now, Open Collective is not making break-even. So we need to make a decision of like how we're going to get there. Anyway, and it's really an invitation for anyone who's part of the open larger like Open Collective community to jump in and think about it with us. So you can find the strategy issue on github.com/opencollective/opencollective. Yeah, we're in this together. So we need to think about it together.
Awesome. Thank you. Vipul, you want to share anything?
So like Pia mentioned about the great work she's doing with Sustain and with Open Collective, I also keep on thinking as in about community, about open source, how we can do things better, how we can improve our approach, methodology. I tried to go forward and release new initiatives, one of which was a blog. I think this is a very small approach to mine, as in some people have a bit of a communication lag in themselves, as in even if they are quite good, some people, but they cannot express themselves properly. That's why we are starting about with a blog in Alias in all of the communities that we are in, so that people can express more. I currently, if someone would like to read, I am sending out a link. I am currently reading a book called Swipe to Unlock. I like it. I usually work a lot or focus a lot on outreach, growth hacking, product, I guess. I'm quite fascinated on products and how they are built. So with the insight on open source that I have and some knowledge about product, I would like to merge and make some headway or some good breakthrough for the community as a whole for into that, so that we can have some good products out there that focus on open source. So that's all. I'm coming into my final year, so I was thinking of a job as well. So some insight in that.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to share what I have. So I wanted to share about The Tyranny of Structurelessness, which is an essay from the 1960s about feminist radical collectives. And it was mentioned at the ZCon 2 or ZCon 1 conference for a privacy cryptocurrency that I was at in Croatia. And I read this. It's a very short read. It's an absolutely fantastic article about how if you don't define the power structures in your collective or in your group, then basically what you have is the tyranny of the elites. Really helped me learn how some of the GitHub organizations I was in ended up being about in-person versus out-person dynamics. Really, really fascinating read if you're in any sort of group coding. I really suggest it. I also want to suggest the book Red Shirts by John Scalzi because it's hilarious. It's about a universe where people realize they're in a Star Trek-like universe and everyone who's like an extra starts realizing that they die too often and then they realize that they're in a bad TV show and they need to fix it. I really loved it. It won the Hugo. It won the Locus. Whipple also says plus 10 for Red Shirts. If you want a really good fun read, I opened it at 12 o'clock at night thinking I'd read a few pages before bed and then suddenly it was 5 a.m. and I finished it. So that's that kind of book.
That's great.
Samson, you got anything you want to share?
Is it the three things?
Yep.
The three red things? Okay, so I'm actually kind of hungry. I'm actually...
so you can share your three favorite dishes, for example.
Great. So if there's one thing that you don't want to comment in Africa, especially in the Western Africa, is to mention which country has the best jollof rice, right? So it's been a war that, you know, people have been fighting over for the past 50 years. So jollof rice is actually Nigerian jollof rice is the best.
Of course.
So anyways, you can actually find it anywhere in the world. I think some Nigerians, anywhere there's Nigerians, there's always Nigerian jollof. So I'm actually looking forward to do that. Also preparing to do some stuff for events tomorrow. And I'm actually thinking on seeing this movie, John Wick. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't seen it. I've been so busy. But I'll definitely have to look into that part.
And thank you for mentioning Black Panther. I really got to go see that at some point. It's another film.
Yeah, you need to go see that movie. It's awesome.
I would like to add something. As in the next sustain segment, if we are all meeting, maybe Samson can bring us some Nigerian jollof rice.
That's if the immigration officers want me to pass. But it actually depends on the city, anyways. But I'm very positive that you can find jollof rice from the UK. Of course, in the US, it's so easy to find that, and I'm not exactly sure in India, but it's something that I'm kind of very positive that you can find almost everywhere in the world because Nigerians are like everywhere in the world. So we'll try to see that. By the way, is there going to be like a sustain this year, or are we looking next year?
So there's we're releasing an email probably on Monday. We did a draft today. So what we are going to be proposing to everyone for feedback release, like we feel that doing one sustain again, like a centralized event. This year we wanted to experiment with doing like a week of sustained events around the world. So So instead of like having all of these visa issues and folks traveling for so long and having, you know, so much carbon emissions and generating all of that, like we were thinking of maybe doing like a series of smaller sustained events in the same week around the world. And so each of us like running maybe like one sustained community event. And then, we're thinking about doing that. So if you want to kind of comment on that, we're going to be opening a thread on the Discord channel But yeah, the idea is to release the branding for anyone, release facilitating guidelines, release like the logos, one of the whole thing, and then kind of organizing all of that in 1 week. So that's a proposal. It's unclear. It's just very hard for, I think, for us to do another sustain this year. But if we can do that, then maybe we can do another one the following year, right? So maybe that's the idea, maybe decentralizing sustain for 2019.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Thank you so much. Everyone should jump on the Discourse channel. And
yes.
For now, this is the end of the podcast. Hope to see you next week.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Thank
you. Bye.
Bye.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.